done, and those who will do the much that still needs to be done.
CKUT 90.3 FM, Montreal.
You're listening to CKUT. The following is a previously broadcast program. Stay tuned.
Good afternoon, this is Desiree Raquepo, and you are listening to Radio Kapwa on CKUT 90.3 FM, where all Filipinos are Filipino enough.
Mabuhay! And you know who's speaking when someone said mabuhay as an introduction. This is Veronica speaking on CKUT 90.3 FM. People just started laughing because, yeah, that's I'm very extra the way I introduce myself. Radio Kapwa joined by me, my co-host, Des, and then we have Laura again. Justin, we're not forgetting you. Angelica, we're not forgetting you. Louis, we're not forgetting you. And all of the people behind the Radio Kapwa team, we're not forgetting you. And we're so grateful again to welcome another Kapwa who is a massage therapist, an entrepreneur herself, and also a community organizer. And I don't want to spill the beans for you all, so I would like to cede my mic and welcome Desiree Raquepo.
Woo! Hey, what's up? Mabuhay sa lahat.
Welcome. Off the record, we're just like fangirling a bit of how you kind of planted a seed on me, and like now I have like this kind of like radio voice, podcast voice, because you were the one like, where's the podcast happening? So we would love to highlight you and what you do. So please introduce yourself to all of our listeners.
So what I usually tell people is that I am a massage therapist. I've been doing it for 10 years this year. I have been a sole proprietor since I started my massage business, so back in 2013. Since the Panay conference hosted at McGill in 2019, I was inspired to share people's stories. And so from there, I was like, okay, this is my way into the community. I get to meet a bunch of people. I get to highlight their voices. And then other people can feel more, let's say, relatable online, you know, because representation, especially mm-hmm. Filipinos specifically from Montreal. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
I love that. Thank you for sharing. This is another Desiree speaking. I just had a question. You said you went to the Panay Power Conference and you said this is a way for me to get into the community. Can you just share a little bit? Did you feel that you weren't part of the community prior to the conference?
I think I just didn't have a message that rassembled everybody. Mm. Like before, I really wanted to be more involved in the Filipino community just by doing massage, but not everyone resonates with massage or is familiar with it. And so when I got the idea of sharing the stories of my community, I thought, well, at least like I have a purpose that other people can relate to.
Thank you for sharing. No, it's amazing because there's somebody else, Alan Matudio, in our community as well. And he also, there's a story about him going, attending Panay Power as well, to very similar to you, just different words. But again, to find this connection and to connect. Yeah. And then it inspired his art. So it just made me think of that. So thank you so much for sharing. And congratulations on 10 years of business.
Thank you.
That's amazing. And what you do, massotherapist, entrepreneur, you know, just, and we were talking about this just a few minutes ago, you know, about Filipinos in general, you know, like often most of us are like, be a nurse, be in healthcare, be, you know, find a job that's going to have health benefits, and essentially complacent, right? So that you are an entrepreneur. You have been a solopreneur for 10 years. You've had your business for 10 years, and you took the leap to go against most of us, right? Yeah. In our community. Please share, what was the inspiration behind getting into the industry that you are in? And what was the experience also 10 years ago?
I didn't plan on becoming a massage therapist. I wanted to be a graphic designer.
Oh.
And at the time, I had failed my French, so I wasn't able to get my diploma right away. So while I was doing that, after I finished that, it was a little too late for me to apply for any kind of CJEP or college. And so while I was waiting, my mom was like, go into beauty school, do like a vocational course.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, that makes sense. I did my makeup all the time. I did my nails a lot. And so a year in that, I started doing some of the massages because my employer made me do some of the massages. And I was like, I like this. I didn't need to take in anyone's gossip, because in beauty salons, people usually like to spill their tea. And at the end, when I would leave the client, they would just feel really good. And so, yeah, from then on, I decided to do massage. And I guess as a massage therapist, it was just instinctive to start a business. Mm.
I love it.
Yeah, I guess it was just like normal at that point.
What would you tell yourself 10 years ago when you started your business? Or what would you tell the youth that are curious about starting their business? Like number one advice you would give to somebody that wants to be an entrepreneur?
Definitely believe in the dream, because they say it takes 5 years to know whether a business is going to last or not, or like survive. And so if you believe in a dream and you know that it could take you a minimum of 5 years to get a vision of where you're going, then that's definitely going to anchor you and help you. I would also tell myself to be a full-time entrepreneur a lot sooner, because mm-hmm. when I did, I thought I could have done this way sooner and I could have made so much more and thus invest more in projects, for example. I would also definitely tell myself to look into Hilot a lot sooner. Yeah. I mean, it was always like a back thought where I thought if I wanted to learn Hilot, I would have to go to the Philippines. And when you look into the logistics into like travel and like places to stay, it takes me back a bit, because there is a lot of things that needs to change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And speaking of Hilot, how does practicing your craft connect you to our pre-colonial practices, which is Hilot?
So first of all, we have an animistic culture.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so sensation is just... I actually heard this from a colleague of mine. He said something about Asians being more aware sensoriellement. And so Hilot connects me to our culture, because I am practicing like an ancient healing modality. I also get to learn the vocabulary, like different Hilot vocabulary, which is nice. You find out how words in Tagalog can connect us to nature. And how much, I guess, the philosophy of healing has to do with kapwa and shared identity and shared trauma even, and shared healing practices that have lasted for generations.
It's true.
I have a question. What exactly is Hilot? Is it a massage practice? Is it because it's all beautiful? But I'm like, but what is it? A body technique?
So The word healot basically umbrellas the whole realm of healing. The translation of healot is healing. And so in healot, you have different modalities or like different approaches with like herbalism, with massage, like manual work. You have spirit work and different kind of rituals. So there's different kinds of healot. Like making amulets is also a form of healot, actually.
Yeah. I mean, because I grew up in the Philippines. I was born in the Philippines. So I know my mom has like weekly healot, right? Mm. So I grew up and I also had healot when I was growing up, like when I'm sick, like, oh, nilalagnat, like she's a little feverish. Can you just like, you know, 10 minutes of just like healot? And then your whole body just relaxed because like she would bring like all of this like herbs and then like some sort of oil. And then just like, it's a full body like type of healing because the aroma itself makes me feel good, right? Like my nostrils, my chest feels great. And then she just touched something here and then like put pressure and then I would be like, whoa. You know, and then I remember my mom would always fall asleep. So every time the manghihilot, the person who comes in and like starts setting up his and her or her, because like it doesn't matter, like everyone can do healot, you know, like it's genderless. Mm-hmm. And every time they would prepare their materials, my mom would be like, here's the envelope, because I know I would fall asleep, you know, like this is like the tip and everything else. And I'm like, thank you. And then once, and then the mood, like it has to be like there's candles, like it's a whole thing, like you're getting the whole package. Like, so like when you talked about being healed, I'm like, I immediately told talk to my mom, right? And full disclosure, my mom fell asleep and she started snoring.
Well, so as you were saying, like healed is very holistic. It's meant to stimulate your different senses, like your vision, your hearing, your touch, your smell, your taste. So,
yeah. So we're so like aware of like, oh, let's go get like Thai massage. But in my head, I'm like, well, there's healot too. Like, you know, we have our own version of doing it. And it's nice that you talked about that, you know, this is like the pre-colonial Filipino practices, because this is how you're able to connect to our ancestors from the people from the, like the people who live in the islands of the so-called Philippines. And sorry, like I know Desi wanted to like Desiree Escalante wanted to jump in, but then I cut off because
I don't even remember anymore, but I'm just laughing because like, for those of you listening, Desiree and I share the same name. We also share the same initials. So it's like, then we share the same nickname because we both are called Des. So it's just funny behind the scenes.
All right. So, I mean, you kind of said this off the record already, but one of the questions that we always ask our interviewees is, in what ways you were told you weren't Filipino enough? So please do share.
So when I thought about this question, I was like looking for all the negative experiences where I felt like I'm not Filipino enough. Maybe like as a kid, your parents would make fun of your accent, for example, or yeah, it's just some little thing like that. But honestly, I don't think I've ever felt bad about being Filipino. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that I grew up in Côte d'Ivoire, and I have like a good amount of family here, I think, to make it feel like people around me aren't afraid to show their pride. And so why would I have to feel bad about being where I'm from? I think growing up, like early 90s, hip hop era is very like, we're from here, we represent this hood. And so I guess that was really something that I enjoyed. Yeah.
So like, if we rewind it back, you, for our listeners right now, you were born here in Montreal, Right. And so you're a second generation immigrant. So tell us more. How was your experiences like growing up right there in the hood at Cut Dinesh? I know that you tattooed the numero civic of your grandma, where, you know, a lot of cousins, like, because you got more things to say, you know. I would love to, like, if you're comfortable, obviously, to like share this, because there are a lot of Filipinos who grew up in uptown at Cut Dinesh, and I think that's the representation that was needed and has always been needed. So for those who grew up in here and for those newcomers, how is your experience? You attended Pista Sanayon, pageants, yeah, all of those,
since
is organizing and all of those. Yep. So how was that? Because I came in here when I was 11. That's 2007. So mm-hmm. I wasn't able to like really get through it and get into it.
So I also have grandparents here. And so I guess growing up, when our parents were working and it was summertime, there was no babysitter, I would be with my grandparents. And so obviously my grandparents would take me to wherever they were going or whatever they were doing. And so one of my lolas, she used to organize. She used to organize with different nonprofits and for FAMAS as well. Mm-hmm. And so our whole family would always go to whatever events were happening. I guess also growing up, there were less spaces where Filipinos could gather. So they were always like the Kamsing, the Kumon, and the Fama Center.
Yes.
And so obviously you come across like other Filipinos in these spaces. Yeah, as I mentioned, like every year growing up, we went to the park for Independence Day in Pista Sanayon. I have grandparents who have like, who are part of different organizations, and they're at the park as well. And then, so it was just really normal for me to attend these things twice a year for my whole life.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. I have a really quick question. When did your decolonization journey start? Because, you know, I hear it like you being an entrepreneur for me is like, ding, there was something coming outside of you that you probably didn't even realize, right? Again, going against the grid. But was there a moment in your journey where you can pinpoint where you started to decolonize or connect to spirit?
So connecting to spirit is one thing and decolonization is another.
Right.
I guess one of the things that really attracted me to the world of healing when I started massage was the fact that healing is very holistic. And so in different healing modalities, they connect it to the planets and the chakras and all that. So that was something that I was already interested in. But my decolonization journey really started after attending the Pinay Power Congress in 2019. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, last question. What does Kapwa mean to you?
So, as I mentioned earlier, to me, when I think of Kapwa, I immediately think of people who share the same struggles, people who share the same roots, having empathy and feeling for the other person, simply knowing that we come from the same place. And that, yeah, we're all one, basically.
Yes, the interconnectedness.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being here, Desiree.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and please, for anybody listening that is curious to connect to some pre-colonial practices for some hilot, please reach out to Desiree. Can you share where folks can find you and book these services of yours?
So for anyone who knows Linktree, my handle is Desiree MT, so pretty simple. And if not, on Instagram and Facebook, you can find me at ugnayan.dr. And I just want to clarify that DR does not mean doctor. DR are my initials.
Yes.
Ugnayan Desiree.
And yeah. You have a physical space as well. And where is, please share where your physical space is.
I'm located on Queen Mary. It's the street where the Montreal Oratory is. And I'm not too far from Snowdon Station. So that's 4950 Charmaine Queen Mary, Montreal.
Amazing. So again, if anybody wants to connect to some pre-colonial Philippine practices, go see Desiree. Do it with our with our practices versus, or try to, you know, be aware of choosing our culture first.
Yeah. Try it out firsthand. Yeah. See what it feels like to connect to your body in a way that's rooted with our practices.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. And thank you for all the listeners for being with us this afternoon. Thank you for listening to another episode of Radio Kapwa on CKUT 90.3 FM. We'll see you next week.
This is Laura, and thank you once again for joining us here on Radio Kapwa on CKUT 90.3 FM. And we hope you enjoyed this episode with Desiree Rakepo from Ugnayan Holistic Practice. This first song we have coming up is called Amakabogera by Maymay Entrata. And we'll be right back with news from the Philippines with John Marvin Reyes.
Scream, ganda kong nagniningning, lalo kang mapapatingin. Di ko na kailangan na magpaganda, dating ko palang panalo na. Di ko need ng filter sa camera, naturang ganda ay bandera. Di ko kailangang sumabay pa sa uso, ako'y magiging ako.
Magandang hapon sa inyong lahat. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is John Marvin Reyes. I am a youth leader and community organizer here bringing you important news back home in the Philippines. The article is from Rappler with the title, Quezon City Allows LGBTQ+ Couples to Make Healthcare Decisions for Each Other. LGBTQ+ couples in Quezon City will soon have the right to make health-related decisions on behalf of each other through the Right to Care card, Mayor Joy Belmonte said on Friday, June 23. Dito sa care card na ito, ang isang LGBT couple na matagal nang nagmamahalan, through special power of attorney, will be able to have authority over their healthcare decisions na dapat gawin or kailangan gawin para sa isang partner. Belmonte said in a City Hall run show, "We want all of our residents, regardless of their sexual orientation, to be with their partners in critical moments, and we are taking this important step to assure the rainbow community that they are cared for, recognized, and valued in Quezon City," Belmonte said. Belmonte said this initiative was the idea of Adrian Guzman, an advertising creator and an openly gay man. The card contains a QR code that, when scanned, directs users to a virtual version of an actual notarized special power of attorney contract. Generally, under the law, queer couples are not recognized as next of kin during medical emergencies. Because of this, they cannot make medical decisions for their partners. Based on the provisions of the special power of attorney, some of the privileges granted to cardholders for respective partners include the following: right to provide care during hospitalization, right to sign any waiver or document, right to choose a doctor or healthcare provider, including admitting or discharging their partner from a hospital, nursing home, or residential care facility, right to receive and disclose their partner's personal information, and the right to allow or deny medical treatments or procedures. Through Quezon City's care card, Belmonte said that the LGBTQ plus couple can include their partner as their beneficiary in their life insurance policy under the special contract. Belmonte said they had already partnered with government-run hospitals in the city, such as Quezon City General Hospital, Novaliches District Hospital, and Rosario Maclang Bautista General Hospital. More hospitals soon will be added to the program, as the Quezon City government said that they will conduct orientations and seal partnerships with other public and private hospitals in the city, Belmonte said. For more information on how to register, please see your Rappler site. The article was written by James Patrick Cruz and published on June 23, 2023. Thank you so much for listening. Maraming salamat sa pakikinig. Once again, this is Jan Marvin Reyes delivering you Philippine news from abroad.
You've just listened to Wag Na Lang Kaya by True Faith. I'd like to thank Desiree Rakepo once again, also for providing all the songs that are on this episode so we can get to know them better. Up next, we have Hinahanap Hanap Kita by River Maya and Harana by Parokya ni Edgar.
Adik sa'yo, awit sa akin, nilang sawa na sa'king mga kwentong maraton. Tungkol sa'yo at sa ligaya, iyong hatid sa aking buhay, tuloy ang bida sa isipan ko. Ikaw sa umaga't sa gabi, sa bawat minutong lumilipas, hinahanap-hanap kita, hinahanap-hanap kita. Sa isip at panaginip, bawat pagpihit ng tadhana, hinahanap-hanap kita. Sabik sa'yo, kahit maghapon na tayong magkasama, parang telesine ang ating ending. Hatid sa bahay nyo, sabay good night, sabay may kiss, sabay bye bye. Sa umaga't sa gabi, sa bawat minutong lumilipas, hinahanap-hanap kita, hinahanap-hanap kita. Sa isip at panaginip, bawat pagpihit ng tadhana, hinahanap-hanap kita.
Lagi kong natatagpuan ang iyong tinig at awitin tuwing sasapit ang ulan. At libo pang pinagsamahan, mukha yatang nilimot na ng puso mong biglang lumisan. May kapiling ng iba.
Umagat sa gabi, sa bawat minutong lumilipas, hinahanap-hanap kita, hinahanap-hanap kita. Sa isip at panaginip, bawat pagpihit ng tadhana, hinahanap-hanap kita, hinahanap-hanap kita. School sa class ceremony, hanggang uwian araw-araw, hinahanap-hanap kita, hinahanap-hanap kita.
Uso pa ba ang harana? ikaw ay nagtataka. Sino ba tong mukhang gago, nagkandara pa sa pagkanta at nasisintonado sa kaba? Mayroon pandalang mga rosas, suot na may maong nakupas, at nariyan pa ang barkada, nakaporma nakabarong sa awiting daig pa, minus one at singalong. Puno ang langit ng bituin at kay lamig pa ng hangin. Sa iyong tingin ako'y nababaliw, giliw at sa awitin kong ito, sana'y maibigan mo. Ibubuhos ko ang buong puso ko sa isang munting harana para sa'yo. Hindi ba't parang isang sine, isang pelikulang romantiko? Hindi ba't ikaw ang bidang artista at ako ang iyong leading man sa istoryang nagwawakas sa pag-ibig na wagas? Puno ang langit ng bituin at kay lamig pa ng hangin. Sa iyong tingin ako'y nababaliw, giliw at sa awitin kong ito, sana'y maibigan mo. Ibubuhos ko ang buong puso ko sa isang munting harana para sa'yo.
We're hoping you're enjoying the music so far. Up next, we have one of our favorites. It's called Buwan by Juan Carlos.
Ako'y sa'yo, ikaw ay akin. Ganda mo sa paningin. Ako ngayon nag-iisa. Sana ay tabihan na. Sa ilalim ng puting ilaw, sa dilaw na buwan, pakinggan mo ang aking sigaw. Sa papasaya at makakasama hanggang sa pagtanda. Halina tayo'y humiga sa akin. Sa ilalim ng puting ilaw, sa dilaw
I gotta say, it's always a vibe for me to listen to that song. I always find myself in a trance. Up next, we have three by the same artist called Jolina Magdangal. The first one is called Laging Tapat. Up next after that, we have Kapag Ako'y Nagmahal, followed by Tameme. We hope you enjoy, and I'll be right back with the community announcements.
Lagi mong iibigin kung sa'yo'y ibigay buong puso't damdamin. Di ako makararanas na lumuha kahit minsan lang. Wakas ang pagtitingin natin, araw man ay lumipas, hindi natin papansinin. Pagkat walang ibang laman ang kapwa nating isipan.
Diyan pa rin sa iyong
lahat ng ito'y magagawa. Kilig naman ako sa siya'y na lalaki. Tipong ligaw tingin, huwag mong kausapin, napipipi. Pero over ka, hindi makuha sa lambing. Kahit patwitams na tulad ko ay mapapaturin. Maari bang malaman ko kung feel mo nang sabihin, sana ay sabihin na ito. Request ng puso ko'y ikaw. Kung tameme ka tsong, ako na ang maliligaw. Panay ang kantsaw ng tropa kong sun lang daw ang aking feeling sa isang torpe. Ngunit ng isang araw ay tumunog ang beeper ko. Hinimantay ako sa message mo na I love you. Maari bang malaman ko kung pila-pila mo na
Back with Laura on Radio Kapwa on CKUT 90.3 FM. And here are this week's community announcements. Are your calendars marked? Because next week, Friday, July 7th, Filipinos of Montreal, in collaboration with Bel Air Direct, will be taking up big space at Stade Olympique for First Fridays Philippines, showcasing our good food and amazing artists. This is officially the first time that culture and heritage of the islands of Philippines will be showcased at such a scale in Montreal, and it will all be happening between 4 p.m. and 11 p.m. This is also your opportunity to come and meet the team of Centre Kapwa and Radio Kapwa as one of the community organizations tabling at the event. Come by and say hi. We'd love to meet you all. Visit the Instagram of Filipinos of Montreal for more information. Moreover, if you want to participate as a volunteer to make this historic event smoother and more memorable, please consider giving your time as Filipinos of Montreal is looking for volunteers. Today is the day where Kapwa Sarah Gonzalez is hosting her book event for the illustration of Maribel's Year. It'll be held at Petite Drawn and Quarterly at Mile End, situated at 211 Rue Bernard West, from 4 to 6 p.m. Treats from Dre's Pies will be available. For more information, visit their Instagram at Petite Drawn and Quarterly, as well as at S. Gonzalez Art. Tomorrow, Centre Kapwa's Ka Collective is hosting Ka Artehan, a monthly Filipinx, Filipina, Filipino artist tambayan with Ka Collective at the Second Cup, situated at 4795 Van Horn Avenue, from 6 p.m. Whether you call yourself an artist or are flirting with the title, come and hang out with other Filipinx creatives. Shoot the shit, talk process, or just have some merienda while you meet other people. Kita kits! For more information, visit one of the Ka artists, Deanne Louise Nardo's Instagram at Fried Chicken Vixen. On Friday, July 30th, Tito's of Comedy Tour, a comedy show by Norm Alconcel at Big Norm Show, Ernie Vicente at Ernie Vicente, and James Roque at James Roque 31 will be happening at Montreal's Third Floor Comedy Club at 2015 Crescent Street from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. on June 30th. On Sunday, July 2nd at Jean Mans Park, Concordia Students for Sensible Drug Policy at CSS DP Concordia is excited to show off a multitude of handmade items for sale while they supply free harm reduction and safer use materials and share information about drug advocacy. Their proceeds will go towards fundraising for future Drug Tales events. For more information, visit their Instagram at CSSDP Concordia. And last but not least, on Tuesday, July 4th, a lino printing workshop will take place at the Refugee Center, located at 1610 St. Catherine West Suite 402 from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. The Refugee Center will be working alongside the Black Healing Center to create a series of workshops focusing on the artistic expression in the hopes of promoting the different cultures present in our community. We invite the talented BIPOC artists to showcase their own form of art. For more information, please visit their Instagrams at the Refugee Center and at Black Healing Center, and the workshop facilitator at its.dalen. That's spelled as ITS.DALEN.
Welcome to Amandla, 1 hour of African current affairs brought to you here in Montreal on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. I'm sitting here with Doug, and Doug, we had a very special and nice conversation last week with a very important man. Tell our listeners what they can look forward to.
It was fascinating, and Jay Naidu has been a militant ever since the Soweto uprising, if not before. In 1976 in South Africa, and as of Friday, 2 weeks ago, he received an honorary doctorate from University of the Quebec à Montréal, UQAM, inspired, as we might expect, by our old friend and comrade from South Africa and the ANC, Dan O'Meara. And so he was around for that, and he agreed to an interview with us subsequent to that, and so we